Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Team Lammy's Mark Cass. And on the phone, Andrew Brandt, host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, we didn't mean to steal your podcast name here, but we call this episode every other Wednesday with Mark the Business of Sports as well. So it's meant to be that you had time to join us, and we truly appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know my saying on Twitter, it's there will be lawyers. I don't know about that.
Wait a second. That's
have to hire a trademark attorney.
Nice to hear from you, Andrew. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, happy to.
Here are my lawyers, right? I love that. Great start.
So, Andrew, friends.
Yeah, it's great to be talking to people in that area. And I have so many fond memories from 9 years there. I'm making the Lambeau Trek pilgrimage this year. I'll be there for the October 20th game against the Houston Texans. So it's always good to get back every year.
Wow. Right. How long has it been since you've been back?
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years. Last year, my kids and I sort of do a trek every year. Usually it's to Lambeau, but last year we went to Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a reunion of my NFL Europe crew, and we went to the game of the Chiefs against the Dolphins in Frankfurt. So it was quite an experience to see football in Germany after experiencing it in Spain when I started there with the NFL World League way back in the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about quarterback contracts. I think fans are fascinated about quarterback contracts, and you've been a part of many negotiations. You look back to Favre's first contract, big one, 94. You went $19 million to the $220 million of Jordan Love. You were part of the Rodgers first negotiation in 2005. What are these deals? Skill based, market based, organizational timing, all the above.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Yeah. I did I'm not proud, I guess, to give out the first $100 million contract in NFL history. Brett signed in 2001. I gave him a 10-year, $110 million deal that he actually played out. The last 2 years of it, he played in 1 year in New York and 1 year in Minnesota. But he played out that deal, and you look at where it's come now. I think the important thing to know about quarterback contracts is that other than Deshaun Watson, none of them are all guaranteed. So they all have these contingencies. Usually the first year, first 2 years, sometimes first 3 years. Yeah, that's rock solid. That's quote unquote guaranteed at signing. But beyond that, especially with the Packers, because of a guy named Andrew Brandt, they don't really guarantee past year one, maybe year two. So when we see $200, $250 million, I always look at it and say, okay, what's the real money? Meaning, as I ask myself when doing Packer contracts, is when can they get out? So when you look at a contract negotiation, you always have to protect your downside risk.
Right.
When can a player get out? And usually it's 2 or 3 years. So when I see Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones or Justin Herbert signed these 7, 8, 9 year deals, I'm like, well, it's really 3 years and 6 1-year options for the team. Now, we assume the quarterback is going to be around, but you just never know. So you just have to look at it with that lens.
I mean, and that makes the signing bonus all that more important from the player and agent perspective, correct?
Yeah, and that's a sort of double-edged sword with, again, the way I started structuring Packer contracts is we would give out big bonuses. I mean, there's the preservation fund, the cash reserves, whatever people want to call it. There's the use. So Jordan Love gets this 78 or 79, whatever it is, million-dollar signing bonus, which is far and away bigger than other ones done this year, but very limited guarantees past this year. No one expects Jordan Love is going to be on the chopping block in a couple of years. But the point of negotiations is who's got the leverage. And as the contract goes on, you see the Packers have more leverage than Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, was there anything about his contract that was kind of a shock to you? Was there anything surprising, or was it pretty much as expected?
I think these numbers, guys, when you talk about 50 a year, 51 a year, 52 a year, 55 a year, It's now, you asked about what's important. It's not even how good anymore, right? The how good is for talk radio. It's for people at a bar. It's for fantasy football. Negotiators don't talk about how good. They talk about, okay, what's the market and what's the timing? And Jordan had for those two things because market was at whatever, 53, 55 million a year. And timing was perfect. Entering the last year of his contract, coming off a great season. There's no better timing.
Yeah.
So it always mattered just when he would do the contract. And I think length was the big issue. I think Packers wanted more than a five-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jordan will be back at the negotiating table in 3-4 years when the market's not 55, but it's 75 or whatever it is. And length is always a big issue in these deals.
All right. Andrew Brandt joins us. When we come back from the break, which NFL players are in your Hall of Fame for great contracts? And a few other questions. When we come back, this is The Upswing, the business of sports, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of sports. Mark Cass and Andrew Brandt joins us on the phone. Andrew, again, thanks for taking time. I'm always inspired by your information and your motivational messages on Twitter and X, too. I always appreciate what you share each and every day. So would you foresee another stock sale in Green Bay? I mean, last one was, what, 2021? Could you see that happening again?
Hard to know. You know, I was there 9 years. I was between sales. I didn't really see one in my time, but I don't know. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses, I guess, literally and figuratively, with all the money coming into these franchises and all the wealth that's there. I don't know if that's something the Packers feel like they need to do. Obviously, we read these financial reports every year.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, $600 million in revenue or something like that, and $50 million in profit. You know, I remember back in 2008 when I left, we were at about $300 million in total revenue and about $20 to $30 million in profit. So it just keeps going up, and you're getting a check from the NFL every year of $400 million for media and licensing. So my answer is, I guess they don't need to go there, and not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Are you surprised, though, kind of at the success over the years of, you know, all these people kind of throughout the world who are paying for nothing other than really, really just kind of helping the team?
Yeah. I always say you talk to non-Packer fans, and the stock sale is like, that's the worst investment ever.
Yeah.
And you talk to Packer fans, and they say, it's the best possession I own.
That's right.
You know, it's like completely divergent. When I moved to Green Bay, guys, I started looking at houses, and every house had a shrine. Mm. It was like in the bottom of the house, there was a green room with pictures and stock certificates. And I'm like, wow, this place is different.
Yeah,
no doubt.
And that $300, hey, you know, put something to put out on the wall and be a part of something bigger than you.
It's just a frame. That's all you're buying, Jeff. It's all good.
That's right. So, Andrew, which NFL players are in your Hall of Fame for great contracts and why? We got about 2 more minutes.
Yeah, a couple of years ago I started this, the Business of Football Hall of Fame. Sam Bradford, a guy that was the last bonus baby before they changed the rookie rules about top picks, where he got $78 million rookie contract. Now the guys get like $35 million, not that there's anything wrong with that. Kirk Cousins, who we saw the other night, is definitely in there. Chase Daniel, a backup,
mm-hmm.
who made $60 million, hardly ever played. Jamarcus Russell, again, back to those rookie contracts. A guy named Nick Foles has an extraordinary amount of money for what he's done. And you go down the list. It's mm-hmm. mostly quarterbacks, and it's mostly quarterbacks who made a lot of money without actually playing football.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in Green Bay who you would, kind of over the years, who you would apply to that?
You know, I gave out some big contracts. Unfortunately, guys that didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Kabir Bajabiamila played well for a while, but he was paid at the top level. Other than that, I don't think we had a lot of bad contracts. Probably not.
Yeah. All right. If you had to move back, you said you're going back to Green Bay. Would you buy a home near Lambeau right now? Is that a good investment for you?
I think so.
Yes.
You know, I think what they're doing with the neighborhood, it just shows you how much it's changed. You know, when I started there, we had just the lower bowl. We had to increase it. We had to make Lambeau Field more than a 10-day-a-year destination. You just have to.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to make Lambeau Field area more than a 10-day-a-year destination. It's not just the stadium.
Yeah.
So that is all going way up. I only see that increasing with the popularity of the NFL.
And what was your favorite cheap meal in Green Bay? We've got about 10 seconds.
Well, I'm kind of a health nut.
All right.
There was a place called Urban Frog, which is no longer there, that me and Aaron Rodgers kind of kept in business for
all
a long
right.
time.
Not
very
Kroll's,
good.
Huh? I thought Kroll's hamburgers would be on that list.
Andrew Brent, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the day.